back. WNST, Taps of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively doing things the right way around here, having our wise conversations, all brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. A heart healthy month of February and a short month of February. Man, my wife brought me those dark chocolate covered strawberries for Valentine's Day. They were unbelievable. They got the big strawberries. Makes me want to get the big ones. But a big thanks to our friends at Wise Markets, as well as our friends at Coons Ford, and of course, Leonard Raskin and Raskin Global, and our friends at Royal Farms, as well as Planet Fitness for all sending me off to Los Angeles. Had a great week of football, Luke. Came back, and we had the Brian Flores stuff going on, and obviously Mike Tomlin hiring Brian Flores. There's going to be lawsuits. There's going to be lawyers. I'm going to invite Andrew Brand on the show to talk about all of that, but we're getting closer, man. We got Combine next week, right? We have Combine drama. We talk about all the baseball drama with lawyers and agents and all of that. We have masking issues in Indianapolis. I was out in L.A. It feels like we're getting to the end of the Indianapolis Combine. It feels like they're going to pull that thing out of there at some point. But this is prime season for building a football team, and I think you and I would probably agree that Eric DaCosta did a pretty nice job last offseason, right? Like, checked a lot of boxes. Yeah, they needed to get Stanley healthy, and Boyle was going to come back, but they were going to get Justin Houston late to augment the pass rush. They had signed Zeitler. They had figured things out. They brought Villanueva in. He was going to play right tackle. They checked all the boxes, and then all hell broke loose. And now they are where they are right now, waiting on cap space, amongst other things. But this is a time for tough questions for Eric DaCosta, is it not?
Yeah, and I mean, you just alluded to it. And look, I don't think it was a perfect offseason. I think, and we talked about this when they traded Orlando Brown in terms of, okay, where's Ronnie Stanley? How confident are you that he's going to be fine? And look, in fairness to Eric, and he took, I directly asked him about Ronnie Stanley in his season-ending press conference earlier this month, and he kind of took the blame. And look, I'm guessing if there truly is any blame, and it wasn't just a case of not every surgery goes perfectly, not everyone's body responds the way you want it to. If there truly was some blame to go around, whether it's a training staff, strength and conditioning, I mean, who knows? I'm guessing it probably wasn't Eric DaCosta. But he took accountability for that, and that's what you want to see. He's picking the football players. He's making the decisions. As much as Ozzie's still there, and as much as Steve Bisciotti, ultimately it's Bisciotti's team, Eric's the one he's in charge from a football operations standpoint. So, from that standpoint, beyond that isolated scenario there where you trade Orlando Brown, did they overestimate a little bit where Alejandro Villanueva was? We can debate that. But to your point, the best laid plans in February and March and April and May, you like how they look on paper. You say, okay, this looks like a Super Bowl caliber team. And most people felt that way, coming off of a second straight divisional round exit. But then you see what happens. And as I wrote this past week at BaltimorePositive.com, as much as we talk about who the Ravens might add in free agency, who they might let go as far as salary cap casualties, who they're going to draft come late April. I look at this roster right now, and I look at who's under contract right now. This is without predicting any potential cap casualties. Just looking at who's under contract for 2022, Nestor. Just over $100 million of their cap space on the 2022 salary cap is devoted to players coming off of notable injuries this past year. So as much as we're going to focus on new guys that are going to be brought in, Eric, John, Steve, everyone, everyone in the Ravens brass, they know, and they're not going to try to put too much attention on it, but they know the truth. So much of this team's fate in 2022 is going to come down to how effectively do these guys come back from injury. And that's where, if you're Eric DaCosta, you're trying to plan for it and you're trying to have contingency plans. But the reality is, just look at their top 10 guys coming off of injury, notable players: Tyus Bowser, Achilles, Nick Boyle, knees still not right at the end of this past season, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Marlon Humphrey, Lamar Jackson. Oh yeah, he's coming off of injury, although I saw him working out this week. I think the ankle looks like it's back to 100% or at least close to it. Juwan James, Marcus Peters, Ronnie Stanley, Derek Wolfe. I mean, there you go. How are those individuals going to come back from injury? are they all going to be pre-injury form? Are they all at least close to pre-injury form? Is everyone going to make it back? In the case of Ronnie Stanley, I think it's fair to ask, is he going to make it back after, you know, what, at least three surgeries on the ankle he's had at this point? So much of what their fate and what they're going to look like in 2022 hinges on how do those guys come back. Now, Lamar Jackson's got an ankle bruise. Marlon Humphrey's got a torn pec. He's coming back. These are not career-altering type injuries. But when you're talking about ACLs, when you're talking about Achilles, when you're talking about your all-pro left tackle who had his ankle completely messed up now a year and a half ago at this point, you know, you don't know how those guys are going to respond. So, you know, there was a time when way back when you and I were talking about Dennis Pitta coming back from his first hip injury. And well, we saw how that went for a couple years time.
We talked about Todd Heap even before that. Like when I think of guys whose careers were really derailed by injury, obviously Pitta, it was tragic, but the nagging thing where you get back on the field and you're sort of a shadow of what you used to be, or maybe, and Peter Boulware had a little bit of that, you know,
Ladarius Webb was absolutely that guy, I thought. I mean,
Tavon Young is, you know, he's got to be in that category now, right?
Sure. And that's the big thing. All those guys I just mentioned, other than Stanley, to me, Stanley, there's at least some question. And believe me, this is not me saying I think Ronnie Stanley's career is over. I have no idea. I don't think the Ravens know at this point. How can they after what happened last offseason? But there is that very real part of this that there's coming back and playing again and being healthy enough to play and being cleared. And there's that other element of how close are you to being full strength? J.K. Dobbins tore his ACL in late August last year. What was that? August 21st, something like that. August 24th, whatever it was. He'll be back. And I'm guessing there's a good shot he's back for the start of training camp. But is he looking like J.K. Dobbins pre-injury, his rookie year, who, if you remember him, just shredding the Bengals in the regular season finale? Or is he looking like a guy who's still finding his way back? And, you know, if that's the case, then you're not talking about a guy who's your home run hitter that he was that year and what he was projected to be. So just a lot of questions. And again, you can't have contingency plans for all of these guys because you just, there aren't enough draft picks, there aren't enough cap dollars. But I will say, and I've written this, we've talked about this, and this really went into what my question was for Eric DaCosta for his press conference. To me, I look at offensive tackle and it's like, okay, you need to plan to me, you're trying to find a starting right tackle, right? You know, you're hoping you find the next Orlando Brown, your next Orlando Brown in the draft, you know, whether that ends up being a guy in the first round, second round, you know, third round, what have you. But it needs to be someone that you're hoping the best case scenario is he's your right tackle, because the best case scenario is Ronnie Stanley's your left tackle. And he's back to being close to what he was sooner than later, let's say. But you've got to prepare for the worst case, which is he's still not right. Perfect example. I'll give you a non-Raven. Tony Boselli, a guy you and I have talked to for years at Radio Row. How many years did he wait to get into the Hall of Fame? Finally gets the call. That was a guy, at one point in his career, he was kind of considered the standard that Jonathan Ogden was trying to live up to. I mean, that's how good, that's how highly thought of he was. Now, that's not to say that J.O. wouldn't have surpassed him at some point, but the point is Tony Boselli's shoulder was wrecked and, you know, he wasn't the same guy and it shortened his career. And you hope that's not the case for Ronnie Stanley, but I think you need to at least be planning and having a backup plan that's better than Alejandro Villanueva, or better than just saying Patrick McCary, or hoping that, you know, Juwan James is going to be your right tackle and you're fine there. I mean,
well, it happens quickly, man. Zach Orr being an incredible example, right? Of, you know, a guy who's worked his way up. I mean, it was 5 minutes ago, you and I were sitting with him over in Towson and his career was coming into his own. He was going to get $100 million, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that was a little bit, that was something that was discovered. I mean, thank God it was. I mean, keep in mind that was a, you know, that was a, what, congenital spine condition or whatever that had never been discovered before. But you're right. I mean, it's one play. I mean, that's why for Ronnie Stanley's sake, I'm happy for him that he got the contract that he did. For the Ravens' sake, what rotten luck that it happened 2 days before his ankle got wrecked. So you're hoping that this surgery did the trick. And, you know, Eric was very hush-hush about where he was in the rehab process, which, you know, the for whatever reason, the Ravens are far more secretive about those things than they were in the past, even in the offseason. It is what it is. Other teams are like that. But, you know, there's just going to be a lot of unknown there. But unlike some of the other guys on that list that I just mentioned that you assume will make it back, knowing that there's no guarantees, but hey, an ACL injury is typically not a season or a career-ending injury now. We know that. But there's a chance there could be a couple guys on that list that don't come back as the same. I think Marcus Peters is an interesting one for me because 29 years old he's going to be. And his 2020, while it wasn't bad by any means, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't quite the same player in 2020 as he was in 2019. So does a serious knee injury accelerate what was might have been the start of a decline? I mean, you mentioned Tavon Young, who played a full season, but was he the guy that he was 4 or 5 years ago that had the Ravens thinking they wanted to ultimately give him the extension that he did? I mean, we mentioned Ladarius Webb. Ladarius Webb came back, had his second ACL in 2012, came back, and he played a number of years for the Ravens. But was he ever the player he was in 2000? Yeah, well, Jimmy Smith's the guy. He's the ultimate what if kind of guy, right? I mean, a guy who ended up still having a really nice career. I mean, played for the Ravens 10 plus years, assuming he's probably done now. No announcement or anything like that, but it feels like that way. And he said he's not going to play anywhere else. And he's 33 years old. You know, I'm not sure there's a huge market for him anyway.
Made a lot of money.
He did. And still, he still managed to play a lot of good football when he was healthy, but he's the kind of guy that, you know, probably if he didn't have the injuries, we'd probably be talking about him as a guy who made it to a few Pro Bowls, and we'd be probably talking about him as a possibility as a Ring of Honor kind of guy. But alas, couldn't stay on the field. Hurt at some critical junctures that really, you know, you think back to the 2014 Ravens not having him and losing him a couple years later, late in the season, how much that hurt them down the stretch. So, you know, availability is a big part of this. So as much as we're going to talk about who they might sign or who they might trade for or whom they're going to draft come late April, we know that so many of those names we just mentioned, one, are they going to be back? Two, how close are they going to be to pre-injury form? Because I think Derek Wolfe's a name we haven't mentioned very much. We haven't talked about him really. It was kind of official that he wasn't going to come back, but you look at how much this defensive line figures to change. I mean, Brandon Williams, a free agent. Justin Ellis, a free agent. Calais Campbell has said he's going to play again, but he's going to be a free agent. Is he going to play in Baltimore? How much money does he want? Is he going to find another contender out there that he might feel is a little closer to winning a Super Bowl? Who knows? But Derek Wolfe's under contract. If he can come back and be the guy he was for them 2 years ago, boy, that really helps ease the transition for a defensive line that figures to get much younger this coming season. So just a lot of questions. And believe me, those guys I just mentioned, that's a lot of upside. That's a lot of championship caliber upside we're talking about there. But until you see what it looks like starting in May when they start running around in OTAs, but really we're not going to know for sure until they kick it off in September. That's why there's a little more, I think this team still has a very high floor. I mean, my goodness, they still went 8-9 this year with everything that went wrong for them, but there's a lot of variance here in terms of how these guys are going to come back from injury. And that's why, I think they're Eric and John and the front office and the coaching staff, they're going to do the absolute best they can to augment and make this football team better. But until you see these guys back on the field healthy and looking like the players they were before, there's still just going to be a lot of unknown for this team. And I think that's where it's probably a little more challenging right now to look at them and say, okay, they're going to be right there with Kansas City, or they're going to be right there with Buffalo, or who knows, are they going to be right there with Cincinnati? Although we know the Super Bowl hangover can be a real thing. But you know, there's just a lot of unknown for this team that, unfortunately, we're not going to find the answers for quite some time.
Here's Luke Jones. He's monitoring all things Ravens as the combine begins and the free agency period's about to begin. And when's tampering begin, or has that already started yet?
Oh, that's all. You know, that's already started. But it's middle of March. I mean, smack dab in the middle of March. I think. I don't have it in front of me. I think the first day of the new league year, I think it's the 16th. It's a Wednesday. I think that's the 16th. But officially, the tampering period starts 2 days before that. But amazingly, when that tampering period starts is when we start hearing about these reported agreements. So tampering's already started. Yeah, I mean,
look, they're not playing baseball, so I need some good old fashioned tampering
now. Oh, I know. Weeks, right? Well, and that's what's going to be interesting about this combine situation. I mean, this is very fresh. I mean, it was just a few days before this conversation that this came out that they were going to have this bubble, and I think agents are really taken aback. The college prospects are taken aback. I mean, keep in mind these guys have a full entourage of trainers and personal coaches, and you know they have nutritionists and everything. That I mean, these guys are getting ready for the start of their NFL career. So to hear that there's going to be this very restrictive bubble, especially on the heels of, let's face it, I mean, COVID testing and COVID restrictions were relaxed considerably at the end of the regular season into the postseason for these teams. So I think a lot of people on the NFL PA side, agents, rookie players, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Because to your point, and part of me, the cynic in me almost feels like, is this a way that they're going to try to kind of deliberately kill the combine in Indy? And then that, you know, this will give them an opening to just move it to LA for who knows how long. You know, that's a cynical viewpoint, but wouldn't put it past the league. I mean,
they're not looking to move it to San Antonio. I promise you that.
Yeah. So it's just a very strange, and it will be interesting because, even as of Sunday night, there was a lot of chatter about a lot of prospects basically saying, hey, we'll go for the medical testing and then we're out of there. So that could impact a lot of teams' preparation and, you know, the workouts. And we know how NFL Network has turned this into a huge week-long televised event and all of that. So it'll be interesting. And I know, despite the fact you and I didn't have plans to go to Indianapolis this year for the combine, I know some media though, that some feathers ruffled of, wait a second, all these players are going to be in a bubble, and you know how that impacts coverage, as we've talked about for the better part of the last 2 years. So interesting on that front. But that said, yeah, we're progressing into the off season. You know, even though the Super Bowl just, you know, literally just talking about that days ago, but we're getting into the meat of the off season, and you know, combine, before you know it, free agency will be here. We will be seeing salary cap casualties, and you want to be on the WNST Baltimore Positive text service sponsored by Coons Baltimore Ford. If the Ravens do cut an Alejandro Villanueva, if they do reach a contract extension with somebody, or they cut someone else, they re-sign Bradley Bozeman, anything like that, you want to be on the text service, because 'tis the season. We're getting to that point where we're going to start seeing some of that. Not saying it's going to be this week necessarily, but we are getting to that point where business is going to start to pick up, and we know by mid-March it's going to be on fire, and it's going to be fascinating to see how the Ravens go. Lots of different directions, as we know, quite a few positions on both sides of the ball that they could be looking to address here in the coming weeks.
Let me get through this John Mayer concert thing before we start locking out and signing players and tampering and combining. Luke can be found at Baltimore. Luke, out on Twitter and Facebook and anywhere social media is served. You can find me, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, all those places. We're bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back to life. I was over at the Chaucer over the weekend. I was also at Costas. I dumped a beer all over myself at Costas. I smelled like a brewery when I left Costas the other day. I just had an accident. They served me the spinach that they in the hot dish, and mm-hmm. I touched the hot dish. I knocked over the beer. It was a mess. I had to do laundry. But nonetheless, we will be bringing the Crab Cake Tour back to Costas. We're bringing it back to Fadley's as well. I'm going to work an El Guapo Mexican Latin crab cake thing at El Guapo in Catonsville at the end of March as well. So the whole schedule's coming out in about a week or two. We're going to start it all on March 4th with our friends at the Maryland Lottery at Mama's on the Half Shell, not to be confused with Nacho Mama's. By the way, Nacho Mama's in Towson, the Berea quesadilla, forget about it. One of the greatest things I've ever had in my life. It was just delicious. I had it over the weekend. So I'm getting fat. It's wintertime. That's okay. There's no baseball season. There's no peanuts, no hot dogs. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, monitoring all things football and most things baseball. We are BaltimorePositive.com.